everyone, and welcome to this week's NPL show. And a bit like last week, this week we start with one of those disclaimers. And this show was recorded before the news that Matlock Town have appointed Paul Phillips as the new manager. He'll be taking charge of the squad for the first time on Tuesday night in that crucial game against Grantham Town. But this is just to let everyone know that this show and all of its interviews were conducted before this news broke about Matlock Town appointing Paul Phillips. And we'll have more on this appointment on next week's show. But now it's time to hand over to Ben with the show that we very much had in mind this week. So, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's NPL show, the official radio show, stroke podcast, stroke download, if you will, dedicated to the Northern Premier League. And joining me now, down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by Mr. Northern Premier League himself. It's Mr. James Hayes. Hello, James. How are they?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. We're recording this bit of the show on Thursday. Shortly, we're going to be having a fixture preview with non-league reporter from Yorkshire, Thomas Feeney. That bit of the show was done on Wednesday. And coming up also on this week's show, we've got some interviews with some managers, which were conducted on Friday. And coming up on this week's show, we've got Lee Picton at South Shields. We've got John McGrath at Michelover Sports. Cal McCauley at Witton Albion. And we've got Mr. Dave Cook at Nantwich Town, all coming up on this week's show. But James, I've been saying all this when we're recording interviews and that because of last week's show. I had to do a disclaimer at the start of the show with what went on at Radcliffe. With John Macken and Frank Sinclair departing the club. Bit dramatic last week as we went to where with the show.
Yeah, a bit of a shock, really. I mean, amongst everyone from Radcliffe in particular, not just across the league too. John Macken, Frank Sinclair and two assistants left Radcliffe Borough. Obviously, this happens quite a lot in football, but it's still a shock, especially where Radcliffe are at this moment in time. I know, obviously, a lot of clubs were starting to say about what they want to do coming towards the business end of the season now. Radcliffe in the best position they've been in 15 years. It's a tough one to take on board, and obviously the last couple of fixtures as well.
Well, we send our best wishes to John Macken and Frank Sinclair and all the coaching staff who've departed the club at Radcliffe. Radcliffe 0, Gainsborough Trinity 2 was the result on Saturday. Big result, that one for Gainsborough, and that now sees Radcliffe drop 4 points outside the playoff positions, but still a long way to go, and we'll cover off those other matches around the playoffs and around the title race and the relegation picture shortly. But earlier, James, you mentioned Steve Kitchick also leaving his post this past week. Matlock Town's manager leaving the club on Tuesday. Big news that. So there's two big managerial spots open all of a sudden with Matlock Town and Radcliffe looking for management. But wishing our best to Steve Kitchick as well, who's always willing to come on the show, always a great guest. So a big good luck to Steve as well for the future, as well as John Macken, of course. But that's the managerial merry-go-round covered off this week. Unless, James, I've had to do a disclaimer at the start of the show this week, which I don't like disclaimers. I think they're a bit rubbish, but what else are you meant to do? Anyway. Let's talk about the results from last weekend then. South Shields, top of the league by 6 points with 3 games in hand. Victorious over Lancaster City at the Giant Axe. 2-1 the score. South Shields taking the lead with Jason Gilchrist. Robert Wilson getting the equaliser from the penalty spot on 35 minutes. And then with 20 minutes left to play, Jason Gilchrist scores again. That's a big result, that one, for South Shields.
Yeah, indeed. And coupled with the fact as well, they got knocked out the Durham Cup on Tuesday night. It is South Shields to lose now, pretty much. They've only got the one cup competition left, which is our very own Integro. When we say it was a 6-pointer, it was a crucial one for both sides. Lancaster had the opportunity there to really put the cat among the pigeons. But we saw this last season where South Shields started to come in their own in the second part of the season.
Let's hear the mood at Mariners Park. On Friday, I caught up with one of the joint managers at South Shields. Here's Lee Pitson. Well, Lee, a big thank you for joining us and a happy new year to you. What a seismic result that was at the weekend. You must be delighted.
Yeah, no, obviously delighted. It's a classic kind of 6-pointer when you're playing teams around yourselves, then adds that extra gravity to the result. So you know, puts a little bit of a cushion between us and them with three games in hand still. So, yeah, it was a really, really tough game, as you would expect, away to Lancaster. You know, they're a very, you know, physical and combative side, and, you know, they certainly give us a really tough test, but one that we eventually came out on top with.
And obviously it was a team effort, but we do have to highlight the effect Jason Gilchrist had on the game. I mean, he's a quality striker of a calibre, probably above this division in all fairness, but his quality showed on Saturday.
Yeah, it certainly did. You know, I think Jason didn't have a huge number of chances outside the two goals. So, you know, he pretty much scored two great chances. And, you know, that's why we brought Jason to the football club. We knew he was going to kind of give us guaranteed goals, or as good a guarantee as he can get in football. And, you know, he's in a rich vein of form at the moment, and long may that continue.
I mean, you're four games unbeaten now in the league, but there's been three games where you've had to dig deep in a lot of ways. Obviously, there was Scarborough a few weeks ago, a 2-0 win against Ashton, but the Mickleover game, I mean, they came right back into it, didn't they, with 20 minutes to go. So you're showing a bit of resilience as well as quality in front of goal.
Yeah, we're showing some really good signs, to be honest, Ben. Both myself and Graham are really happy with the way that the squad's shaping up now. We feel like we've added some real quality in the likes of Callum Ross and Wouter Verstraeten and Stefan Gonzalez, obviously, who's made a great impact since coming across from Cologne a few weeks ago. And we feel we're in a better position going into the second half of the season than what we were going into the first half. But obviously, the proof of that can only come from our results. But we're certainly feeling good about the squad. We've got some key players back that we'd lost through injury over various parts of the first half of the season. So we've got a fantastic competition for places all around the field at the moment, which can only be a good thing.
Now, obviously, like you say there, you've got some quality in the squad, and you've got some experience in the squad too. And that's going to be a point, isn't it? Because at this stage, you've got this six-point lead, but you've got the likes of Lancaster, who by no means out of it, and Basford and FC and Warrington, of course, and plus a couple of sides not too far off outside the playoffs. So it's easier said than done. There's no easy games in this league. So how are you and Graham going to keep a lid on things and make sure that it's consistency that's key?
Yeah, I think we've got to get, you know, continue to get both sides of our game right. You know, we've shown on a consistent basis that we're more than a match for anybody on the footballing side of things. But I think what was particularly pleasing with the Lancaster performance and result is that we actually showed a real level of steel and character and personality on the pitch, which again, we're going to be thrown into all different kinds of situations in the second half of the season. Obviously, a lot of the pitches are going to start to deteriorate. What we've shown with that performance and with other performances recently is that we have got that resilience, and we can, again, with the additions that we brought in, more than match sides on the physical side. And if we can get both sides of the game right, then we're really confident that we're going to finish where we want to at the end of the season.
And a tough game this weekend with Witton Albion coming to town. And then obviously next Saturday, you've got to travel to Stalybridge. So what you're saying there, when you start to put the fixtures down on paper, it's true what you're having to say. I mean, you're having to play some quality sides over the coming months.
Yeah, I mean, Witton have obviously, they're the side that ended our really strong run earlier on in the season. I think we went eight wins in a row, and then we went to Witton and got beat 3-1 at their place. So we know we can't afford to have any level of complacency whatsoever. And then, like you say, you know, the next stop in the league campaign is away to Stalybridge, and they're hovering around the playoff places. So, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but, you know, the big games keep coming, and there is no easy games, as you say. And but we feel like we've got the competition in the squad and the depth in the squad to be able to deal with that.
And finally, obviously, attendances have been superb this season at Mariners Park, and another home game on Saturday. What's your message to that home faithful for tomorrow's match against Witton?
Yeah, well, I mean, not just the numbers, Ben, you know, the atmosphere and the support, you know, even when things haven't quite been going our way, we'd always rely on the fans to really get behind the team. And, you know, that's going to be just as important, if not more important, in the second half of the season. You mentioned before, obviously, we've got some massive home games against the likes of, you know, FC United and Morpeth and various other, you know, teams that are going to be finishing in the top half. And, you know, we're going to have some fantastic crowds, and you know, hopefully they can will us on and give us the energy that we need to finish right side of the line.
So Lee Picton there, joint manager at South Shields, joining us on the show. A big game this weekend for South Shields, as we were covering off there. South Shields will be hosting Witton Albion, and we'll be hearing from Cal McCauley shortly from a Witton Albion perspective. So with Lancaster City not winning on Saturday, that meant there was an opportunity for Basford and FC United to close the gap to Lancaster City. Basford, firstly, they did just that by beating Stalybridge Celtic at Boerfold by 3-2. Kane Richards there with two of the goals for Basford United. Steve O'Halloran, unfortunately, getting an own goal on 70 minutes for Basford United. That sees Basford now tied in second on 45 points with two games in hand over Lancaster City. At the same time, FC United travelled up to Whitby Town and were victorious over Whitby by 2-1. So FC United are now 1 point off second spot, but they have a game in hand over Basford and they have 3 games in hand over Lancaster City. So big weekend just gone for Basford and FC.
Yeah, both sides didn't even have it as easy as first said. Again, talk about the Basford game first. Stalybridge were in real control of that for the first half as well. The Darius Olsey goal literally legged it up the end of the field with a perfect counter. But Basford, we know what they like, came back into it. It's unfortunate that winning goal was an own goal, but sometimes that is football. Similar sort of story at the Whitby Town, I feel, as well. Paul Blackett's got, was it that the penalty was a accidental one, it more than, I'd say, forced, that makes sense?
I'm not going to comment on the penalty. I'm not going to comment on it. I've said my piece on another radio station. I'm not going to comment on the penalty. It was a well-taken penalty from the penalty spot.
These owners in Whitby Town really didn't make FC United enjoy the game, let's say, a little bit.
I was going to say, despite them being down to 10 men early on inside the second half, at times Whitby looked good, and especially on the counter. So it was a hard-fought victory for FC United, but a victory nonetheless. So that sees Lancaster, Basford and FC United. FC 1 point behind Basford and Lancaster. They're 6 points inside the playoffs now, which is pretty big at this stage of the season, I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of football to play. And again, a lot of the top six still got to play each other at this moment in time too. You start losing that little bit of form, you are going to get into that little bit of a dogfight again. And the likes of Scarborough, Witten coming back into it too. We're a long way from signing the top five at the moment.
Yes, well, the top five is finished off with Warrington Town currently. Warrington picking up a 2-2 draw at Stafford Rangers. That sees them on 40 points, 4 points behind FC United, 2 points ahead of Nantwich Town. Difficult to assess this. You said something interesting last week. You always say something interesting, James, but this particular interesting thing you said stuck with me. And it was the fact that you said, well, Warrington, at least they're getting points. They're not getting beat. They might be draw kings at the moment, but they're getting points on the board. You'd rather have a draw than a defeat. That's very much the case with this game. Josh Amos getting the equaliser into added time. So that's a pretty big draw for Warrington. You could debate whether they should be drawing with Stafford Rangers or not, but the fact they got that draw the way they did, that must be some relief.
Yeah, I mean, again, just echoing what I said last week and you just said there, they're getting the points and this is how they ended up making the playoff final last year too. The more they can do it, the more pressure it puts on the likes of Basford, FC United and the teams running back them at the same time too. Quite a lot on Stafford Rangers though, this seems like playing the top sides at this moment in time. Just looking at the results from this year, the point against Warrington, 3 against Ratcliffe a couple of weeks ago, and going back, obviously they've only won two games out of the last 13. But then wins have been Stalybridge, Radcliffe, and then before that, when they won their massive draw screen themselves, Scarborough, Witton and FC United and Basford.
Well, the gap between Stafford Rangers and Matlock, who are fourth bottom at the moment, is 11 points. So they've still got a lot of work to do to claw that back. But a very good 2-2 draw with Warrington Town. That left the door open slightly for Nantwich Town to close the gap, and they did. Nantwich Town are now 2 points outside the playoffs with a game in hand. They were victorious and in a big way at the Weaver Stadium on Saturday, beating Hyde United by 4-0. So let's hear now a bit more about Nantwich Town, because we've not had Dave Cook on in a while. So on Friday, I caught up with the manager at the Weaver Stadium. Here's Dave Cook. Well, happy new year to you, Dave, and welcome back to the show. And you said something to me off air, which is 100% true. It's good to speak to you, Ben, because it means that we've won. You're in a good vein of form at the moment, aren't you, Nantwich Town, just outside the playoffs. You're starting to motor a bit now. I mean, what's your sense on where Nantwich are heading into 2020?
Well, I think we need to keep going. I mean, I know, look, we spoke a couple of times early in the season and everybody thinks, you know, there's about 10 teams that can get in the playoffs, and I don't think there's anything changed on that. I mean, the table has obviously shaped up, but we've got to keep in and around them playoff places, you know, and it's tough. Everybody seems to keep beating everybody else. So, yeah, it's just a case of hanging on in there, Ben.
And that's interesting, because basically when we look at Nantwich's trajectory this season, because you did so well in the cup competitions and that kind of thing, you've always been slightly behind everyone else with games in hand. I feel like I say that to you every season, really, because and then you have this upturn in form, and as you play games, you start to move up the table. I mean, how difficult is that to manage, though? Because it's easier said than done, isn't it?
Well, last year, I think we were in the playoffs from playoff positions from September and stayed in them. So this year it's been a little bit, like you say, the FA Cup run, which was great, but I think we had a bit of a hangover after that. The lads were, well, everybody was disappointed, but we, you know, we lost the final 1-0 and the lads gave a great account of themselves, but possibly deserved a replay. And then you start looking at the draw and Fylde have got Kingstonia away, and you think, well, we could have been in that and we could have beat them, and then you're talking that would be the third round. And I think, although we all put it to bed, everybody just keeps their eye on it and thinks, God, what if only. But we had a great run in it, we got to the first round, and I think then our league form suffered a little bit, and we just didn't get going. And look, we're still now, we had a good little run, then we went to Mickleover and we got beat 2-1. I'll be honest with you, Ben, that defeat hurt me and the team more than I think any result this season, because that's no disrespect to Mickleover and Johnny, you know, they're going well. But we started the game well. Somewhere along the line we fell away from it, and we felt after that it was 3 points, it was definitely was within our grasp. And we had, there was a few choice words at the end of the game, to be honest, and we carried it over for Tuesday in a meeting. And I just thought that the players, I was disappointed in how we lost the game. And to be fair, they've reacted in the right way since.
I mean, you touched upon Mickle over there. I mean, you had a draw with Scarborough as well, but this is what you were saying earlier about, you know, there's an argument for 10 teams who can make the playoffs. It is a bit of a cliche, but when you've got the likes of Buxton and Ashton down the bottom end, it's not just the playoff chases you've got to contend with. It's everyone, really, isn't it? I mean, it's such a tough league. So where do you see Nantwich heading as we head into the closing months?
You know, we'll know on uncertain terms that we've got to make the playoffs. It's as simple as that, and that's what everybody knows. And if we don't make the top five, then as far as I'm concerned, we failed. I failed, the players have failed. And look, there's no pressure from above, by the way. It's not like the board are saying it's the playoffs or whatever, but we've set our stall out now, and the squad that we've got, we've got to stay up there. And if it takes the last game of the season to get that fifth spot or fourth spot or whatever, then we've got to aim for that.
And Nantwich travelling to Stalybridge on Saturday. I'm going to suggest this is game of the weekend, in all fairness. Sixth travelling to seventh. I mean, this is a big game. So how's the squad shaping up heading into this one? There should be under no illusions of the importance of this one, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, you know, last Saturday was a real good performance. And we looked at it that Ben Harrison didn't play, Casper Hughes didn't play, Joe Malkin suspended, Ricardo Fuller's coming back from injury, Callum Saunders, you know, he was on the bench. You look at them four or five players that didn't start the game, and you think, you know, the squad is strong. It is a strong squad, but you can have the best squad in you think on paper, but you've still got to get the results. And look, South Shields are motoring there, you know, whether they can be court is, you know, is very debatable. FC United are on a fantastic run. So we've got to get a similar run together if we're going to maintain it. And Stanley Bridge have a good side. You know, we have had them watched, and again, you look at their results. They've had some fantastic results, and then when you think, you know, they're going to get 3 points and they get beat. So the league is just, you know, it's all about consistency, man.
Dave Cook there, manager of Nantwich Town, and as we were discussing there, next up for Nantwich Town will be an away trip to Stalybridge Celtic, which is a pretty big game this weekend, and we'll be previewing that one as well as all the other big matches in the NPL Premier Division for Saturday the 25th of January later in the show, when we'll be joined by Thomas Feeney, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines. Well, one team who also capitalised as well as Nantwich Town was Mickleover Sports, and Mickleover are now 4 points outside the playoff positions, and it's been a good last few games for Mickleover. Mickleover Sports 4, Grantham Town 1. A phenomenal result, that one, for Mickleover Sports. And let's hear now from player-manager at the Mickleover Sports Club. Here's John McGrath. Well, John, a big happy new year to you and a big welcome back to the show. And Mickleover, 4 points from the playoffs as we head towards February now, and a fantastic 4-1 win over Grantham. It's going well at the moment, I'd suggest.
Yeah, we've picked up some good results. I think we've won four of the last five, and that's also in and around us having a lot of injuries. You know, Pablo Mills has dislocated his shoulder, Mason Warren's been out, Darrell Berry's been missing. So, yeah, we've had some really good results, and just happy to be in and around the top half of the table.
Now, I think the last time we spoke, you were also there or thereabouts. Then you had a little mini slump, but you've turned that round. I mean, how's that all happened, that roller coaster? Is it all down to your injuries, or?
Yeah, we've had a few, you know, like I said, a few injuries, a few players in and out, and yeah, but we try and set up a consistent message to the lads, and it's no surprise to me that we turned it around, in and around Christmas time. So we just keep our heads down, keep working hard, and keep enjoying ourselves.
Now, I know you want to stay under the radar as much as you can, so I can only apologise for inviting you back on the show. But yeah. The season has got, as it must be above expectations, what's been going on. So what are your expectations now as we head towards February?
Do you know what? We sat down pre-season back in July, me and the players, and we had a Project 42. So get to 42 points as quick as we can. And because I wasn't having a repeat of what happened last year, you know, going to Bamber Bridge last game of the season and having to scrape out relegation. So that's still a task. You know, we've got 36 points. You know, we're well on our way with 19 games to go, I think we've got. So the target is just to keep winning games. I'd like to win 11 out of the next 18, I think it is, which puts us on, I think, 66, 69 points, which I think will see you in and around the top eight at least. But there's a lot of good teams in the division. There's a lot of clubs within touching distance of the top half and the playoffs, apart from Sol Shields, who I think are the runaway team in the division. You know, they were superb. We played them a couple of weeks ago. I think everybody keep anybody on any given day.
Now, I was going to say, I think it's a safe bet you're going to get those two wins before the end of the season to get you to 42 points. So, congratulations on that score. But, you know, if you are in and around the playoffs, I mean, you might even get in the playoffs. Who knows at this rate, the way you're playing at this stage of the season. So, how's this in the grand scheme of things for what you're trying to achieve at Mickleover Sports more generally?
Yeah, we're probably, you know, way above and beyond where we, you know, where we should be, you know, in terms of, let's say, budget-wise, you know, we're crowd-wise, we're a small club. But I've got a very, very good chairman in Don Amott who wants to progress the club and move it forward, and we'll take small steps at a time. But, you know, my wildest, you know, ambitions and dreams would have been to make the playoffs this year, and, you know, for a club like Mickleover to be even competing at this stage of the season is fantastic. But, you know, we've signed some good players. We've signed Stuart Bevan, Paddy Webb, and, you know, we managed to keep hold of some very, very good players like Ben Turner, Pablo Mills, Darrell Berry, I mentioned before. So, yeah, I'm I'm very, very happy, actually, where we are at the minute. I'm over the moon. Can we kick on? I hope so.
Well, to this weekend's match then, and Matlock Town coming to Micklover. Interesting what's been going on at Matlock this week. I mean, I don't know how that affects your plans and how you think they're going to set up, but it does put this game up in the air a bit, I think.
Yeah, it does. It you know, Matlock Town, it's never an easy game. They're a good side. They've got good players. No one likes anybody losing their job, especially another manager. But we'll approach the game the same way as we would have done if Steve was in charge of it. So it doesn't change it for us. It may change if the new manager may come in today and, you know, give the boys a bit of a geo. But I've always said if we play to our full potential, we can beat anybody on any day.
And finally then, John, obviously, then you've got the likes of FC United coming up as well in a couple of weeks' time, and you're going to be playing some very, very crucial games. So what's your message to that Micklover sports faithful as you head towards February and do they dare to dream?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be I think it's wrong not to dream, you know, in any walk of life. So, you know, there has been a few rumblings of can we put another string together of four or five wins. But like you say, Ben, we've got some very, very good teams ahead of us now. You know, we've got to play Lancaster again, Basford twice, we've got to play South Shields at home, we've got to play FC United twice. So it's a tough running, but look, if you want to compete with the best, you might as well go and play them and try and beat them.
John McGrath there, manager of Micklover Sports. It's always good to speak to John on the MPL show. Well, staying down towards where Grantham Town are, we've got Matlock Town. Obviously, Matlock is currently sitting 19th, 1 point behind Grantham Town, with two games in hand, admittedly. 2 points ahead of near neighbours Buxton. Matlock have three games in hand over them. But they were beaten by Scarborough Athletic on Saturday. Scarborough Athletic 2, Matlock Town 1. That sees Scarborough 5 points from the playoffs. They have played a fair few games more than everyone else around them, but a win's a win. And Scarborough are just there, aren't they? Just there in the slipstream of everybody.
Yeah, again, the form's just, their home form is fantastic. That's the best way of saying it, really. James Walshhorst, the Stamps' finest goal and scoring boots once again. Joshua Barrett as well, last couple of weeks, starting to join in the melee with Coulson as the front force at this moment in time. Darren Kelly seems to be really settled in now. But quickly on Matlock Town at the same sort of moment, it's only 3 wins out of the last 13 games, 9 points in overall.
Let's talk about another team who's in mid-table land currently, Witton Albion. Witton Albion, 6 points from the playoffs. They've played a couple of games more than everyone else, but Witton Albion with a fantastic 2-1 victory over Atherton Coles on Saturday. That's Witton Albion's first win in quite a while, actually. So it's probably a good opportunity to welcome back to the show, given the fact Witton have got a pretty big game this weekend at South Shields, against South Shields. Let's have some words now from the manager at Wincham Park. Here's Carl McCauley. Well, Carl, a big thank you for joining us and a big Happy New Year to you and a welcome back to the show. Fantastic result that against Atherton Coles on Saturday. So how was the afternoon for you?
Yeah, it was good, to be fair. It was much needed, the result. We had a bad run of games where we didn't pick up as many points as we wanted to. So going into that game, there was a lot of pressure on us, but all we could ask for is to keep trying and keep working hard and trying to get the right response from the lads. And we done that on Saturday and we come away with a win, which was really, really good, which helps with confidence.
Now, speaking of confidence, it's difficult to assess when teams are in the middle of a low patch or whether they're on a high, because everyone seems to be beating everyone and everyone seems to be posing difficulties for other teams. So, you know, in that run of defeats there, you've got defeats against Gainsborough and Buxton, but, you know, you've got a draw against Warrington. So what's your sense on that run that you just had recently?
Well, I think, first of all, I think the league itself is a powerful league. Like you just said, Ben, you know, anyone can take points off any team. To me, at the moment, South Shields are the strongest team, and that's why the top of the league, they've been a hell of a run. Along with FC United, they've done really, really well. There's two teams who I think is going to be battling out to become winners. Having said that, it'd be a tough test for us, away from home, a long journey. Bearing in mind then we've got to go to Basford on the Monday night, so it's going to be really, really difficult for the lads jumping off work. But we've done well against South Shields, we've done well against Warrington, we've done well against Nantwich, and all them teams who have been around the playoffs, I'm sure they will be. we've gone toe to toe with them. So yeah, it's going to be a really, really tough game, but one what I'll enjoy and I like them games.
I was going to add about these fixtures coming up, because obviously it's two tricky aways with South Shields and Basford, like you say, and in close succession. So is there much difference to the preparing for these two teams? Because they play kind of similar, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think everybody is in the same position in terms of lads getting off work, because we're all part-time clubs. I think South Shields maybe do 3 or 4 nights, where everyone else is probably the part-time, and lads have got to get off work for the Monday night, then to go down to Basford and then obviously get up early the next day. So it makes it difficult for the players, but like I just said, it's the same for everybody else. So we've just got to go there in the right frame of mind and look to get the job done and look to get the 3 points what we all want.
And early in the interview, I mentioned, you know, it's difficult to assess, you know, how the form's gone because of who you played and that kind of thing. Witt and Albion are a right banana skin for both Basford and South Shields. I mean, it's a tough game for them, that's for sure. 6 points from the playoffs as we head into this weekend, Witt and Albion. What's your sense on what Witt can achieve heading into 2020, good and proper, like we are now?
Yeah, I think we want to keep competing and staying in amongst it and put the pressure on the other teams around the playoffs. And that's all we're looking to do, to try staying with that group and compete as much as we can and see what happens from there, Ben. But like I said, the league is really, really powerful. As you know, I look at Stafford and bottom of the league, and we went away and we played them and we come away with a draw, and I thought we were lucky to get the draw, Ben. I really did. I thought they were the better team, Stafford. So that just shows, yeah, on any given day, you know, anyone can take points off anyone. I think majority managers will give us respect. They know on our day when we're certainly knitting together that we're a challenge for anyone. So I'm almost sure that the managers that we come across, we get the respect. And vice versa, we always give respect back.
And it is a busy period coming up for yourselves, and some good squad news heading into this weekend with the announcement that Danny Mitchell is staying. His loan has been extended at the club. That's welcome news.
Yeah, we felt we needed another striker. Obviously, we haven't had Rob Opley all year with his ACL, and we had a tough time with injuries. To be fair, Ben, we had three ACLs with Chris Noon and Boody. And the positive for that is Boody's on his way back. He's been on the bench, but we needed that. He needed minutes. So he's gone on dual registration with Congleton to allow him to get them minutes. So that's positive news that Boody's back. And yeah, we look forward to it when he has his spell with Congleton, comes back to us.
And finally then, Carl, just a quick message to the travelling support. They've got two tasty aways coming up with South Shields and Basford, and then back to home matters next week against Stafford. So what's your message to the Witten faithful?
Yeah, like, just like always, keep getting behind the lads, keep supporting them. We need that. And there's no doubt about it, in the next few fixtures, we definitely need this. So yeah, keep doing the same work and keep it up.
Cal McCauley there, manager of Witten Albion, joining us on this week's show. Big game for them this weekend, James.
Yeah, crucial one there. It's obviously first winning 8 games of tournament that weekend. And only 6 points off the pace. And against some of the time teams, they have got games in hand. It's just more what can they do with them too. Again, just start picking up the results again. Great test is going to be this weekend.
So a victory for Witten Albion last weekend, travelling to South Shields on Saturday, and we've got that fixture preview coming up in a second with Thomas Feeney. Just a couple more results to talk about from the weekend. A big win for Bamber Bridge over Buxton. Bamber Bridge 2, Buxton 1, and that sees Bamber Bridge now breaking into the 30-point mark. They're now on 31 points. They have played 27 games, which obviously is the problem, but it doesn't work that way, does it, if you're down the bottom end? Because, as Roy Seale said, form is form, and if you're most likely to lose your games in hand, then it doesn't matter, does it? So Bamber Bridge in a good position, and since Jamie Milligan's come in, they've been getting the wins here and there, and have been slowly moving away, James. So that's a big result, especially against a team who are also down that bottom end of the table.
Yeah, crucial 3 points there. Again, just to put the pressure, put more of the pressure on Buxton. Great win there. And again, form is form. And yeah, it might not be the Vion form team at this moment in time. But they're picking up the wins pretty much every other week. And similar to Warrington, it's getting the points on the board.
Well, last result to talk about from Saturday, Morpeth Town 1, Ashton United 4. Where on earth did that come from? A brilliant result, that one, for Ashton United. Ashton United opening up a 9-point gap between themselves and Stafford Rangers. And because of that Buxton defeat, keeping in touch with Buxton as well. That's also in part thanks to a 1-1 draw at Radcliffe on Tuesday night, in a bit of a local derby there between Radcliffe and Ashton United. So big result, that one, for Ashton United. Morpeth staying on 31 points in 14th position now. That's 9 points behind the playoffs. They do have 5 games in hand, though, over Warrington Town. But a big result, that one, for Ashton United.
Great performance there from Ashton. Clegg is really starting to get his feet in hand. They do look a little dominating side when they're on the ball. Again, the Radcliffe game, they did control it quite well. Again, it's just more the fact, can they pick up points, and more the fact, can they drag Grantham, Gainsborough and Atherton into the dogfight with them at this moment in time. But yeah, Ashton, they've got the capability to get out of that if they want to. It's just down to them now to really perform forward.
Well, that's all the results from last weekend in the Northern Premier League Prem Division. Fixture preview coming up in a second with Thomas Fina. But James, a big thank you for joining us for that little run through last weekend's results in the league, and some interviews there with some managers and stuff. Busy weekend for yourself on social media. What should people be keeping an eye on? You got anything lined up?
Well, there's one massive game this weekend in the Northwest as well, which people will be, their eyes were on the Premier League last weekend. This weekend, you've got Workington against Ramsbottom United. So I think there'll be a few people looking to go up to that game anyway.
Yes.
Obviously, winners go top or stay top.
And of course, we'll be having the Step 4 show in a couple of weeks' time. So we'll keep in abreast of everything in the Northwest Division and the Southeast Division, of course, of Step 4 in the NPL. But James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us this week. You have a lovely weekend. Stay warm, and we'll speak to you next week.
No worries, Ben. Thank you very much.
So a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to gaze into the future, and in particular, matches taking place on Saturday, the 25th of January, 2020. 2020, can you believe it? We're literally living in the future, aren't we? And joining me down the other end of the phone now to bask in the glory that is the future is Mr. Thomas Fina, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines. Hello, Tom, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm feeling very mystical with that intro.
Well, welcome to the show, Tom. And as I predicted last week, I would be wishing you a Happy New Year. You are officially the last person I'm going to do this to. So Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Thomas.
Had a good Happy New Year. I'm a bit offended that I'm the last person.
Saving the best to last. What can I say?
Oh, what a charmer. Yeah.
So let's talk about the matches then this weekend. Let's start up at the top. 6-point lead for South Shields after last weekend's matches. South Shields will be hosting Witton Albion, currently sitting 11th, 6 points from the playoff positions. So what do you think for this one? Is the run going to continue now for South Shields, do you think?
I've got to say, I think that was a massive, massive win against Lancaster City last week, and kind of one of those where you talk and you look back at the end of the season and say that really was the deciding point. I do feel like you could almost argue we're getting into that territory, because it is such a big win for them. And I think the big thing as well is all their good players, you know, they've got a really good squad, but they're all firing now, aren't they? And to go to Lancaster, which isn't an easy place to go to, and get the win, and you know, to also have a goal scoring, you know, Jason Gilchrist, who, let's say Sachs, he is a level above this. You know, he really is a fantastic striker, and big sign of intent when they got him in. He's now delivering the goods, and yeah, I do think that that was a massive win, and I can only really see it continuing. I'm more than happy to eat my words if that's the case on Saturday and they don't gain the victory, but I've got to say, I can only see now South Shields really getting the results they need, getting the wins they need, and being in the National League North next season.
Well, there we go. Well, Lancaster City will be one of the teams trying to stop that from happening. Lancaster obviously looking to bounce back after last week's defeat. They're taking on Ashton United at Hurst Cross on Saturday. A decent 1-1 draw with Radcliffe midweek for Ashton. They're now 3 games unbeaten, though, including that sensational 4-1 win last Saturday as well against Morpeth. So what do you think? This is a tough game, this one, for Lancaster.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where if it was about 3 weeks ago, you'd have said, well, yeah, Lancaster should win that. But all of a sudden, Ashton, you know, they changed the manager. maybe took one or two games just, you know, really for the ideas to be implemented, for things to get going. And like you said, three games unbeaten. And I think for Ashton, you know, it's pretty clear now that the light is at the end of the tunnel, in the sense of it's one good result, really, and all of a sudden they're going to be out of that predicament they're in, and then, you know, kind of looking up the table. So I think for Lancaster, it's a really tough game. And, you know, the way that the fixture list has fallen for them, maybe they'll be cursing it a little bit, because, you know, 3 weeks ago you'd have said, yeah, Lancaster, this is probably going to be one of those routine victories. Well, now you've got to say it'll be a really tough test for the side.
Basford United are on the same number of points now as Lancaster City, and Basford have two games in hand as well. And Basford this weekend will be hosting Morpeth Town. And speaking of Morpeth and games in hand, just a quick update on where we are with Morpeth. Morpeth are 9 points from the playoff positions and Warrington Town, and they have 5 games in hand. But we are not too far off, you know, it becoming a real problem where you're having to play, you know, week in, week out. If the weather turns in February or March, then they're going to be playing Thursday night games as well. So this stage of the season, games in hand are one thing, but you'd much rather be where Warrington are. That said, they're going to prove a problem for Basford United this weekend, perhaps, Morpeth, because they like playing on a good pitch.
Yeah, I think the thing for Morpeth is it's that difficult scenario where you do want a couple of games in hand, but do you want that many games in hand? And I think, like you said, a little bit of bad weather and all of a sudden they really are going to have quite a fixture congestion. And, you know, the thing is, last weekend, really disappointing result to Ashton United. So they're going to be a side that really are wanting to kind of bounce back. And then you look at Basford and a fantastic win against Stalybridge Celtic, you know, winning that 1-3-2. And it, to me, it does feel like Basford, they're a tricky loss against Tide, but since then, you're talking about a reaction from the side. Well, it's 3 wins in a row, 4 games unbeaten in total in the league since that loss to Hyde. And really, they've reacted exactly as you'd want them to, in the sense of good results, but good performances as well.
Next up, we need to talk about is FC United. They're 1 point behind Lancaster and Basford. They have a game in hand over Basford and 3 games in hand over Lancaster. FC United, though, will be travelling to Buxton. And there's been several cracking encounters with Buxton and FC United over the seasons. A couple of weeks ago, FC United might have been looking at this going, well, Buxton have suddenly had an upturn in form, haven't they? You know, great draws against Nantwich and Lancaster, and great wins over Scarborough and Matlock and Witton Albion. But they've been a bit sluggish the last 2 games. That said, Buxton against FC United, it's totally up in the air. Predictions, I'd hate to do a prediction for this one. So, Tom, what's your prediction for this one?
Yeah, oh, thank you for that. It's going to be, do you know what? It really is. It's probably the game of the weekend where you'd say it's the toughest to call, in the sense of FC United. You look and you think, right, well, Buxton obviously have had, you know, 2 results which haven't gone the way, but they've been really tight games, you know, losing to Morpeth and then that 2-1 loss against Bamber Bridge. I think for FC United, you know, they'd be very disappointed if they didn't gain the result. But I thought last week, by the way, the video that went viral with Neil Reynolds starting the chants, yeah, it's fantastic. It shows you really, you know, what he's brought back to that club. You know, last season, obviously, it was maybe a little bit of doom and gloom, you know, with the relegation and some of the results. But you've got to say full credit to him. And I've just got a weird feeling about this game, because on paper, obviously, you'd say, yeah, FC United will win this. But all these good runs, they do come to an end at some point. And I could see this being a draw. I'll say that I really do want to sit on the fence here, because I don't want to annoy you. I don't want to say FC United will lose. So,
I was going to say, though, about that Neil Reynolds thing, I mean, it's people keep rolling their eyes when I say this, but FC United are here this season for a good time. That's what we're here for this year. So, yeah, and everyone's having a good time. And we're having a good time last week at Whitbit, and hopefully having a good time, whatever the result against Buxton. It's going to be a cracking game, and it always has been at Silverlands between these two. So Buxton against FC United on Saturday. And next up on our list of games to talk about for this Saturday elsewhere, Warrington Town currently sitting fifth in the league table in that final playoff spot. They're 4 points behind FC United, having played a game more. Warrington will be hosting the aforementioned Whitby Town. And again, little update on games in hand and that kind of thing. Whitby currently sitting 13th, 9 points behind Warrington Town on that playoff spot, and they have four games in hand. So, quite a big game, this one, for Chris Harder.
Massive game. It really is. It's a huge game because for Whitby, I think what you've got to say is they've had a good run of form, faced FC United and Manchester, always going to be a tough game. Lost that one, but all hope is not lost. You know, when you look at the league table, a couple of those games in hand, if they can win a couple of those, they're going to be right in it. And when you look at that forward line, if they can get everyone fit and firing again after, you know, a couple of knocks, Whitby are going to be really tough to beat. And I think for Chris Hardy, in terms of putting a marker down, if they were to go to Warrington and gain a win, that's exactly what it would do. And, you know, for Warrington, it's kind of one of them things where they don't want to be the team near the end of the season where everyone goes, right, they're in that final playoff spot. They're the team that loads of other clubs are going to look and go, right, they're the team to shoot at, really. You know, we want to take that last spot. So Warrington really want to stay part of that pack with FC United, with Basewood, with Lancaster. And again, this is a big game for them to do that.
There's a lot to be said for what James said a couple of weeks ago on the Monthly Show, where he said Warrington Town, they might be drawing a lot of games, but they're picking up points, which the form, that's the ninth best form in the league, but they're not getting beaten, are they? And we'll wait and see. Maybe having one of those sticky spells at the moment, Warrington, but they're still in the playoff positions. That said, there's two teams just outside the playoffs who'll be wanting to hunt Warrington down, and Nantwich Town against Stalybridge Celtic this weekend at Bower Fold. I'm going to call this now, Tom, game of the weekend.
Oh, dramatically said as well. And I'd agree. It really is. It's an absolutely massive game. And when you look at what is on the line for the two teams, you know, for Nantwich, really impressive win against Tide United last time around. For Stalybridge, kind of one of those where they had that disappointing loss to Atherton and then a tight loss to Basford. And I think both teams will be looking and thinking, it's one result, isn't it? You know, if they can get that victory, Warrington slip up against Whitby, all of a sudden, you know, there is that possibility of perhaps being in them playoff places, you know, especially for Nantwich, with having a better goal difference. But I mean, it's a massive game, isn't it? And I think the thing is, it is still so close to call, this. You know, you look at the Premier League and how boring it is with, you know, Liverpool have won the league already. Who cares, really? With this league,
I care. Carry on.
so many places are up for grabs, you know, and it is such a competitive league. And do you know what? These are the kind of leagues I prefer. Forget your Premier League. This is the better league.
Yeah, absolutely correct, Tom. Elsewhere on Saturday, when it comes to the Northern Premier League, we've got Bamber Bridge against Radcliffe. Interesting what happened last week with John Macken and Frank Sinclair parting ways with the club, and Carl Madison stepping in on an interim basis. Obviously, I mean, is the season now a write-off for Radcliffe? Are they just consolidating now? And in which case, can Bamber Bridge capitalise on Saturday? Or what do you think?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, when you look at the work that John Macken did, and it's very difficult to comment, really, when a manager leaves and there isn't that kind of obvious, you know, it's a result thing, or, you know, all the players have gone, you know, there isn't that obvious, clear-cut reason for it. And I think, you know, for Radcliffe, if you told the club that they'd be only 4 points off the playoff places, I don't think you can say that the season is a write-off when, you know, there's other teams ahead of them who have played a few games more than them. So I think for a manager like Carl Marginson, it's a fantastic opportunity, isn't it, to really say, look, you know, give me the job on a permanent basis, and, you know, a couple of good results and all of a sudden they could be right in them playoff places. So there's still a lot to play for them. And I think for Bamber Bridge, they made their managerial change, and got to say, so far it has worked really well. Obviously, recently when they beat Radcliffe 4-0, that's a result which they'll have to use going into this game, and obviously then beating Buxton as well in the previous one. So they're a team that are in a good run of form in the sense of they're picking up the points. But I tell you, with Bamber Bridge, one worry I would have is just how many games more they've played than all the teams below them. You know, I think it's six games more than Atherton, it's four or five more than Stafford Rangers, you know, and is that thing. All it'd take is one or two teams below them to win all their games in hand, and all of a sudden they'd be sucked right back into that relegation battle.
One team who are miles away from that relegation battle is Mickleover Sports. Mickleover have had a cracking season. They're hosting Matlock Town. As we go to air on Wednesday with this particular interview, recording this interview with Tom, Steve Kittrick has departed the club. That was announced this afternoon. Big, big news out of Causeway Lane. It'll be interesting to see how that affects this game here, this local derby between Mickleover and Matlock.
When you look at the work that Mickleover have done this season, you know, it's remarkable, you know, and the recent results as well, to beat Stalybridge Celtic the way they did, to beat Nantwich, then to beat Grantham, they're picking up some really impressive results. And yeah, another team where they've got a couple of games in hand on one or two teams as well that are near them. And you know what, absolute full credit when you consider last season to this, what an incredible job it's been. And then go to the Matlock situation and you look at what Steve Kittrick achieved this season in terms of cup results. You know, in the cup they've had some fantastic results, and then in the league simply they've just had a really bad run of form and four losses in a row. I think they beat Bamber Bridge, and then they lost to Buxton, then they lost to Gainsborough, then they lost to Bayswood, and then how football works sometimes, that it's against Steve Kittrick's old side, Scarborough Athletic, where in the end he loses that game and he's given the boot. But I think the way that that statement was put out by Matlock, it is clear it is just 100% a case of the results just haven't been to the standard they would want in the league. It's, you know, nothing else than that. I think as well you could sense with the way that the statement was written in terms of the quotes from, you know, those in charge, that they didn't really want to make this decision. They really wanted it to work for Steve Kittrick. And, you know, I know Steve, and, you know, it's such a shame to see him lose his job. You know, for Matlock, though, they're in a very precarious position now with the losses, and also with the way that the teams below them are starting to just pick up them results. You know, you look at Ashton United picking up the results. I think it just made his position even more precarious, and they've decided to go with it. And the position is they want to kind of have that stability in place where they'll have that new boss in, whoever it may be. And it'll be very interesting to see just if they can get the required results.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for Mickleover, they're currently 4 points from the playoffs. Not bad at all. Another team not too far from the playoffs is Scarborough Athletic. They're 5 points from the playoffs. They've played a fair few games more than everyone else, though. 27 games played for Scarborough. They're travelling to Stafford Rangers on Saturday. Stafford Rangers did pick up a very credible draw with Warrington in their last outing. They need to win, though, I think. I think they need wins quickly, don't they, Stafford?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think with the position they're in, it's all well and good saying they picked up a valiant point, but they need to be picking up. And they need to be picking up a result, more than just one result here or there. They need to be picking up, you know, a decent run of form, a couple of wins in a row really is needed, because they are the team that are cut adrift right now. You know, 9 points off Ashton United, I think 9 points off Buxton as well, obviously. You know, the only thing you've got to say is they still have got games in hand on Buxton, I suppose, you know, but they just need to be picking up results, because if they don't, you know, if they go three or four more games where they lose them, all of a sudden it will turn into that kind of the miracle where they, if they are to stay up, where they just need to win pretty much, you know, a good run of games. And again, though, this weekend against Scarborough Athletic is going to be a really tough match, because, you know, kind of when Darren Kelly came in, with the amount of games they've played, it was like, well, they've got to pick up a fair amount of points really to be in contention of the playoff places with the amount of games in hand that other teams in and around them have. But in fairness, they've done quite well. You know, the last five games, they were unlucky to lose to South Shields late on, good win against Morpeth, that win against Matlock as well, and a couple of draws in between. So, you know, I think for Darren Kelly, I think for Scarborough, you know, considering the squad they've got, they have the potential to go on a good run and kind of gatecrash the playoff places. But the only thing to me that might go against them is that they've played so many games more than the teams around them.
Yeah, they've played four games more than FC, three games more than Michelover, Radcliffe, Warrington. They play four games more than Nantwich, but only one game more than Stalybridge. I'm sure it'll all balance out in the end, but that's an interesting game this weekend. Scarborough Athletic travelling to Stafford. Just a couple more matches we need to talk about. Speaking of those teams around the relegation areas at the moment, Atherton Coles hosting Gainsborough Trinity. A win for either side, the management will get a hell of a relief, that's for sure, and the fans will as well. I mean, it's both teams currently sitting on 25 points. That's 3 points ahead of Ashton and Buxton. So a win, and you breathe a lot more easily on Saturday night.
Definitely, you know, and I think what you've got to say as well is both teams are going into this game on a decent run of form. You know, Gainsborough 7 unbeaten. For Atherton, I know they lost that last game, but before that, 3 games unbeaten and beating Stalybridge Celtic impressively, beating Lancaster City impressively. You know, it shows the ability within that group. And I think this is going to be one of those games where both sides, I hope they both look and think, we've got a chance here, you know, and they both go for it rather than maybe being a bit tentative and saying, right, you know, let's make sure we don't make a mistake, and you kind of get that game where both teams cancel each other out, because ability-wise, Gainsborough, they're playing some really good football now under Curtis Woodhouse, and I think for them it's a case of if they can get that win, all of a sudden, you know, whoever gets this victory kind of can be looking at up the table a little bit and thinking, do you know what, we've got games in hand on Bamber Bridge, got games in hand on Hyde United, and kind of looking up the table rather than down, and whoever loses that game, yeah, they'll just be looking over the shoulder maybe just a little bit more, knowing that game after is going to be really important.
And with Ashton United taking on Lancaster City and Matlock taking on Michelover, and, you know, Atherton Coles going head-to-head there with Gainsborough Trinity, there are going to be teams who are going to be dropping points down the bottom end of the table. And that could be good news for Grantham Town. Grantham Town, the final match we need to talk about, they're travelling to Hyde United. Both teams are not in the best of form at the moment. Grantham need a win, don't they? I mean, they're dropping at the moment. They're 3 points from the relegation spots, having played 24 games. That's 3 points ahead of Buxton and Ashton United. So it's an important game, this one, for Grantham, given the, you know, like we just touched upon there, with Atherton and Gainsborough going head-to-head.
Definitely, you know, and I think it's a real opportunity for them. Again, you look at the results, losing to Michelover Sports, then losing before that, losing to Lancaster City. Maybe two results where, you know, just don't get too downbeat regarding it. I think the one for Grantham that really will have hurt them was losing to Gainsborough a couple of games before that, losing 5-1. And, you know, then you look at Hyde, who 3 losses in a row. I think for Grantham, it's going to be one of those matches where they look and think, this has got to be an opportunity to try and get that victory. While for Hyde, kind of what one of those where they've played so many games more than everyone else. Very well, they're on the same amount of games as Scarborough, but if they were to gain a win and a couple of results go their way, they, you know, they could be moving up the table a little bit. So quite a bit on the line for both sides. Well, you would argue, I think you'd argue correctly, there's a lot more on the line for Grantham, just in the sense of what a win could do. If Gainsborough and Atherton were both to draw, let's say, all of a sudden Grantham are climbing the table.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a very, very interesting weekend. Thomas Fina, big thank you for joining us. You're off to Brackley Town this weekend, aren't you, for your beloved Guiseley. So how can people stay in touch with your non-league musings? Because it's not just Guiseley, it's across the board non-league football in Yorkshire.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, Yorkshire being the key word, I suppose, and probably the reason why so many people don't enjoy following me. But you can if you want to on Twitter. It's at Thomas Fina.
Non-league reporter from Yorkshire, Thomas Feeney there, speaking to us here on the NPL show. And just a reminder, if you didn't hear the disclaimer right at the start of the show, that part of the show was done before the news broke that Matlock Town had appointed Paul Phillips as the new gaffer at Causeway Lane. And we'll, of course, be trying to catch up with Paul on next week's show. He'll be taking charge for the first time at Matlock Town on Tuesday night for that game against Grantham Town. But that's it for this week's NPL show. A big thank you to all our guests this week for joining me, especially Tom and James, of course, early in the show, and all the managers who've come on this week. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.